Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Mufti Sahib, he's on the line, Mufti Ilyas Sahib, hafizahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him. And we're going to go on with this program, inshallah, for the next hour. And respect the listeners of Radio Islam and satellite, and those listening to Radio Islam via the internet around the world. Remember, any questions you have, please to call us on 011-854-1548. And if you're recording outside South Africa, then the dialing code is +2711-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send you SMS questions is 082-580-8070. Alright, we'd like to welcome Mufti Sahib on the program. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib, and it's wonderful having you on the program, inshallah. And we look forward to spending the next hour with you. Alright, your listeners, start calling us, inshallah, on 011-854-1548. Cell phone number is 082-580-8070 to send your SMS questions. Mufti Sahib, we have a number of questions that have come through during the course of the week. And let's go through them, inshallah. The one being saying, assalamu alaikum. I performed my tawaf al-wida after Fajr and performed my two rakats wajib tawaf before sunrise. Is this valid?
So the person performed the tawaf
al-wida.
Wida.
Ji.
And then what he did?
After Fajr, and he performed the two rakats wajib tawaf after sunrise. Is this valid?
Yes, it's absolutely valid.
Absolutely valid,
yes.
Inshallah. Alright, we go on further, inshallah. And we receive a number of SMSs. The one saying, assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to have a caught fish dried, mounted and framed in the house, as well as game animals?
Just about the first question, the listeners should remember that it is not necessary for Tawaf al-Wida during Umrah time. Tawaf al-Wida is only for Hajj. And also Tawaf al-Wida lapses for the lady who is in Hajj. And also, if a person performed after Tawaf al-Ifada or Tawaf al-Ziyara or the Faraz Tawaf, then he made any Nafil or she made any Nafil Tawaf, and now the agent called quickly, come to the airport, then the last Nafil Tawaf becomes the Tawaf al-Wida. Also about Tawaf al-Wida, people are under the impression that once you perform Tawaf al-Wida, then you are not allowed to go back to the Haram. And unfortunately, people are deprived of getting the reward of Salat with Jamaat in the Haram because they are not educated properly, and they feel that after Tawaf al-Wida, they cannot go back into the Haram. Whereas after Tawaf al-Wida, you can go back to the Haram and perform Salat upon Salat.
Right,
the question about the fish and the
animal,
hand, that is permissible.
It's permissible, Jazakallah. All right, we're going further, Mufti Sahib. The other question is, suppose someone has committed fornication in the past and sincerely repents and reforms himself. He then begins talking to a chaste girl for the sake of nikah. Is he required to inform her of the past acts of fornication without her asking, or is he allowed to keep quiet about it if she does not ask? What about if she asks him if he is a virgin or has a girlfriend in the past? Is he allowed to lie to cover up his past, given that he has reformed himself and sincerely repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he further says, what if she asks him after they are married? Is he allowed lying to save the marriage from breaking apart? I anxiously await your prompt response. Jazakallah.
That person is asking 10 questions in one thread. First of all, that the sin that he has committed, he should seek forgiveness for. And he should make repentance and make tawbatun nasuha, meaning sincere repentance, and firmly resolve not to commit that crime and that sin and that masiyat again. Be regretful or remorseful, and the asbab of that sin, he should close it, the causes of that sin. Now he is making another sin by engaging in discussion with the girl that he wants to marry. Who told him that in Sharia that is permissible, and who told him that he can do that? And all these questions that he has posed before getting married, that means he's having lengthy conversations with a girl, which is completely haram and not allowed, prohibited. Is unfortunately result in no barakah after the actual marriage. After the actual marriage, then if he has to speak a white lie to salvage the marriage, that will be permissible.
Alright, he's allowed to conceal his past. 30 minutes past 8 o'clock, we have two callers on the line. We take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother? Jazakallah for asking.
My first question is, a non-Muslim making dua for a Muslim, what is the ruling there?
Alright.
Okay, and the second one is, a person had a certain wasiyat which had to be carried out, right? And the person passes away and it was here, not carried out. What is the mustard?
Second
question you must explain.
Sorry?
Second question you must explain.
Okay, brother, just hold the line.
Okay.
Alright. We have the first question regarding
second question you must explain.
Alright, brother, just explain the second question. The
second question is a person had a certain wasiyah while he was living. He this was his wasiyah to be carried out, right? And a person passes away and that wasiyah is not carried out. What is the...
What sort of wasiyah, may I ask?
Example, maybe a person had a wasiyah that when I pass away, the day I pass away, food have to be prepared for my family and close neighbors around me, but the wasiyah is not carried out. What is the ruling there?
Okay.
All right, brother. Jazakallah so much for the question. Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Let's take the second caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brother, put down. Will you have your response to the question of the brother?
The first question is, see, a person when he is giving charity, when he gives charity and he feeds the naked and the destitute and the widow and the needy and the deserving, Muslim or non-Muslim, then the person when he or she prays, then obviously the dua of theirs will inshallah be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come into the favor of the Muslim. So their duas, in fact, when it comes to oppression, the hadith is very clear that the one who is oppressed, between the oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no veils, there are no barriers. And that hadith goes on to explain that irrespective whether that oppressed person is a Muslim or non-Muslim, here we understand, see, Allah is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, obedient, disobedient, everybody. So definitely that Allah listens to all du'as. So the du'a of the oppressed, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, can be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also the dua of the non-Muslim in the favor of a Muslim will be, inshallah, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second question, the wasiyah, the bequest of the deceased is of two types. One is permissible, one is not permissible. For example, the person, he left an Islamic will. Obviously, they will not execute that. Or that person who passed away, he left in his will that you should do certain activities. And these activities are either kufriyat or shirk or bidah. Then obviously it is not necessary to do it. In fact, it is sawab not to do it. But if the person left a bequest which is permissible in nature, then as far as possible, people should try to do it if the budget allows. First of all, then we will see whether he wants that bequest to be fulfilled from his own estate, and if it's a permissible request, then we will fulfill it. If he says you should do it, and he does not stipulate it must come from his own estate, that means he's leaving it to his well wishes, for example, to make some charity on his behalf. That is absolutely optional in nature. If they can afford it, they can do it. If they do not do it, then it does not affect the deceased or those who are supposed to have executed his will.
All right. So, JazakAllah for that explanation. We go on further. 26 minutes to 9 o'clock. Remember, this is your phone-in program. Any questions, masail you have, call us on 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. The brother asks about men wearing red clothes. Please comment.
We have explained about red and yellow clothing, and we have explained how the clothing is made. A garment, a typical cloth, when you look at it carefully, it has got horizontal threading and vertical threading, meaning longitudinal threading and latitudinal threading. Now, if either one of them, horizontal or vertical or latitudinal or longitudinal, is another color besides red, then it is permissible to wear it. Or another color besides yellow, saffron yellow, then it is permissible to wear it. But if both the horizontal and the vertical or the latitudinal or the and the longitudinal threads are both red or yellow, then it will be makruh to wear it.
All right, Jazakallah. So the other question is, Assalamu alaikum, can you fast qada fast on a Saturday? Because I read somewhere that fasting on a Saturday only is not allowed.
I think the person unfortunately read wrong. He actually read fasting on Friday. There is a hadith concerning Friday, not Saturday. Friday, yes, because that is the eve of the Muslims. Only to constantly, regularly fasting on Friday is makruh, not Saturday. So that person can fast on Saturday, make the qaza on Saturday.
All right, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. It says, is it permissible to eat seafood and vegetarian dishes at haram restaurants?
One should abstain totally, because we do not know in the haram restaurants, first of all, the utensils, secondly, the brushes, thirdly, the oil sector, and fourthly, whether they sprinkle some wine or in the preparation of the dishes. Maybe the Muslim goes there and they sprinkle some wine on the fish dish and it comes out wavy.
Assalamu alaikum. It says, please tell us about imitation rings for women and why is it not permissible?
The logic I see behind this is very simple, that once you have a female having a gold ring, and everybody will know that this woman is married, and there is no question of her not being married. And if everybody starts imitation rings, then you cannot make out who is married and who is not married. And in their circles, this will be very difficult, because those who are not married, who want to pose like they are married, will maybe still not married.
All right, JazakAllah. There is hikmat and wisdom behind it as well. All right, Mustabi, going further. Assalamu alaikum. Mulana, I'd like to know, is it jaiz to give a non-Muslim haram items? Sir?
One should not do that.
One should not.
Because what is haram for us, we should definitely abstain from giving it to the others. And this is a small question, but has got far reaching results. People generally, what they do, unfortunately, when they want to bribe non-Muslims, then or they want to give them a Christmas gift, or they want to give them a birthday party gift, or they want to give them a New Year's gift, or they want to give them a season greeting gift. When certain Muslims are under this wrong notion, this fallacious opinion, that, oh, I've got some interest money, I will buy a bottle of alcohol or wine, whiskey, etc., and I'll give it to this non-Muslim to maintain relationship and to keep the door of bribery, corruption open. This is absolutely haram activity and brings the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right, JazakAllah for that, Musa. All right, we go on further, inshallah. Remember, the number to call is 011-854-1548. We'll prefer it to come on live. And the SMS number is 0825808070. The other question the brother has or the lady has, it says, if a lady gets black hair, Musab, is it a sign that she's affected with jadu?
No such thing.
There's no such thing, all right. We go on further. If a food outlet is owned by a non-Muslim but managed by a Muslim, may we eat from such an outlet?
A very strange question, this, because that if a Muslim sells alcohol, doesn't make it alcohol permissible. And if the Muslim sells a haram item, doesn't make the haram item permissible. If certain activity is happening in a Muslim country, it doesn't make that activity halal because it's happening in a so-called Muslim country. If a activity is taking place in a so-called Muslim institute, it does not make that activity permissible or jaiz or earning a reward. So the activity itself or the act itself will determine whether it is permissible or not permissible, not in this case the person who is selling that item. that restaurant or that outlet has to be totally Sharia compliant, halal, 100%, then it will be permissible.
All right. So, Mustafa, going further, you know, we spoke about the question regarding wajib tawaf after sunrise. The brother wants to know, what about wajib tawaf of two rakats it was performed before sunrise? What happens in this instance?
If it was performed before sunrise,
Jee.
Then he is performing it before Fajr Salat, and that is a permissible time. And that time is permissible. His wajib tawaf is accepted, inshallah, or validated.
Yes, but after Fajr Salah, between Fajr Salah and sunrise.
Yes, after Fajr Salah.
Before sunrise.
Now remember, after Fajr Salah, before sunrise, because sunrise is the cut-off time for Salat.
Ji.
Sunrise is the cut-off time for performance of Fajr. Now, a person, hypothetically, he makes his sunnah and his fajr just before sunrise, it is valid. So this person here, he performed his fajr. And now, because he was in the haram, obviously he made tawaf. He made tawaf and the fajr salat stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided, no, the sun hasn't risen, I'm making two rakat wajib tawaf.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it. Now he did it in the permissible time. Although he never do a very good act,
but
it is valid. Those who are querying, see Arsal al-Fatawa. There is a discussion on it.
Alright, we go on further. Is it permissible for men to leave their wives at home without a mahram and go out?
Go out where?
I don't know, sir.
Okay, maybe the brother is saying certain things. Is it permissible for a person to go out, what you call, anywhere? Provided he is leaving adequate safety, security, and no one can harm his wife's dignity, modesty, and no one can harm her iman and life, then it is absolutely permissible to do so. But these are all so many conditions I'm mentioning, that that lady, she must not be left alone to the vultures of the society, and she must not be left alone. We are under the impression certain times that, okay, we leave the wife in the shop and she must maintain the shop while I go and do more shopping and more sourcing of equipment or more sourcing of goods, etc. That is not right. The wife's role is not to go come work in the shop or work in the business while the husband is doing anything. Also, the wife's role is not this, that she must run the shop while the husband is going to perform the salah. That person should employ some male and keep the wife for the role the Sharia has stipulated for her, and she should not come out of the house unnecessarily, and she should not come out of the house and run the factory shop firm of the husband while the husband is even going for salah. And even if the husband decides, you know, I'm very so-called pious, I'm going for Hajj and Umrah, and this is my fifth Hajj and tenth Umrah, I'll leave my wife in the shop and I'm going for Hajj and Umrah, this person here actually has not understood the deen.
Yes.
He's leaving his wife in a place where he's going to be discussing, talking, mixing, and laughing and joking and interacting with non-mihrams while he thinks he's making a lot of sawab going around the Kaaba. He should stay in his shop, earn halal rozi, and provide for his house, provide for his wife who should be in the home.
Allah Jazakallah Mufisab. Why be going further, inshallah?
Similarly, like this, sorry, brother.
Jima.
That people think, oh, I'll sit in etikaf. I'll sit in etikaf, my wife will run the shop.
Jee.
This is not Islamic. People are not understanding. You have to give priorities for what is necessary. Etikaf is sunnah to mu'abtida halal kifaya. One person sit for etikaf in one whole locality, that's okay, sufficient. Not the whole, all the men folk must rush off to the masjid and leave the wives in the shops. Person who leaves his wife in the shop and sit for itikaf is a sinner. He should go and say, stand in the shop and put his wife in hijab and let her stay at home. That is rewardable. And that is deen. Mm-hmm. And that is shariat.
All right. Mr. Mashwa, the wife's not just smiling at home. And I think I'm quite glad Musa brought this point up as well. Now we go on further, inshallah, we have a number of questions on the computer screen. The one says, assalamu alaikum, a sister had been robbed and jewelry was stolen. So someone told her that she did something wrong. That's why it happened. Is this true?
Not necessarily true. This is not necessarily true. And every ailment or sickness or every robbery or every calamity or every misfortune is not that a person is sinning. Yes, there is a kitab by Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Behmat Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi called Causes and Its Consequences or Effects, where he even narrates a lot of ahadiths and stories of Sahaba. And the Sahaba were of that category. When something happened to them, they said, oh, this is because of this sin. In our age, it could be that, and it also could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us, that He gave us, and now He's taken something away, and He wants to see how much patience we got. Thirdly, if this could be a minor robbery to avoid a major calamity. Sometimes there is a minor fall, one brick falls on your foot, and we feel very hurt about it, and this has avoided the whole ceiling to collapse on your head. So we have to look from that angle also.
Gee, patience, JazakAllah for that. What tends to happen sometimes, Mufti Sahib, is, you know, our mouth sometimes are too loose. When somebody gets afflicted with some problem, you know, people start saying the one or spreading the rumors that, you know, they're doing that, that's because this is happening. I think we should stop from this, abstain from this. Before we go on further, inshallah, the other question here is, Assalamu alaikum, brother says, does Zuhr chime in when Asr Shafi starts or when Asr Hanafi starts?
Asr Shafi starts.
The Shafi starts, all right. Alright, so we go on further, inshallah. The other question is, Mufti Sahib, how far is it correct to take and keep nude pictures of one's wife if one is away from her for long? This can keep one away from seeing other porno stuff.
If this person thinks other pornographical literature is permissible, he poses such a question. First of all, that is not conducive for a Muslim to be even thinking in that direction of pornography and keeping photographs, pornographical photographs, etc. And how shameful is it that to have nude photographs of his wife, etc. And this is absolutely disgusting, embarrassing, and unfortunately this is the pitiful, demoralized, immoral status of our society. And that is why we are saying that the woman should be in hijab. And that is why we are saying clearly that the woman should be in their homes. See what is happening, and you can hear about what is happening. That person is absolutely a sinner. He should be regular in his salat. And if he, first of all, should come to realize why he sent his wife away. If he requires his wife to be near him all the time, he should do that. Now, why did he send his wife away in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
That he can engage in this haram activity.
Mm-hmm.
He should, if he requires his wife, he should make the adequate arrangement that she is all the time near him, with him, so that he does not have to indulge in any haram activity.
All right, JazakAllah. I'm just up here. Mind-boggling questions coming through. All right, you have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister.
Mufti Sahib, the question is, I get up for tahajjud at 4:30, make tahajjud salah, read Quran, wait for Fajr namaz, finish my Fajr, and I go and lie down. Is it permissible, Mufti Sahib?
What part do you think is not permissible?
Of going back to lie down in the bed, Mufti Sahib, after the Fajr salah.
Why you feel that's not permissible?
They say, somebody told me that it's not permissible to go and sleep in Kisab.
Okay, I'll answer, inshallah.
All right, JazakAllah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's so many Muftis around, Mufti Sahib.
No, alhamdulillah. Our country got no shortage. First of all, I would just like to explain one part here. There, many, unfortunately, do not understand certain basic things about Islam. That when Salat starts, of a particular salat, and when does it end? For example, Fajr salat starts when Sari ends, and ends when sunrise. So, many are under the impression, no, they have to wait for the Azan or Fajr, then they can perform Fajr. So, a person can make Tahajjud salat, Sari time ends, Tahajjud ends, make two rakats of Sunnah, make two rakats of Fajr Faraz, I mean, rest of the ladies, and then they can go and retire in the bed. No problem. Yes, that the male folk who want to have great barakah in their rosy, it is stated in one hadith, the person who makes Fajr Salat and goes out in the bazaar, goes out under the banner of Allah. And the person who doesn't make Fajr Salat, does not make Fajr Salat, and go out in the bazaar, goes out under the banner of Shaitan. Another hadith meaning that the person who goes out early he gets a lot of barakah. There is one alim, alhamdulillah, in Chipata.
Yes, yes.
He, come winter, summer, anything, immediately after Fajr Salah goes to open his shop. Where there is not a soul on the road, not a soul on the road, he opens his shop, acting upon this, that the one who comes out early, inshallah, has barakah in his rosy. To sleep after Fajr Salah, yes, some ulama has said that it is not good in the light of the hadith.
Yes,
but if the person is not healthy and physically unfit and requires the sleep, then it is permissible.
Right. If it was haram, would he stop out in jail trouble? Okay. Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can you please clarify from Mufti Saab on the following regarding iddat? Number one is, when does the iddat begin and how many days will the iddat be? He says, for example, if the husband passed away at 4 o'clock in the morning on the 3rd of March, Mufti Saab, 2005, that's a Thursday, which corresponds to the 22nd of Muharram 1426, then when does the wife's iddat begin and when will it end?
Understand something. Make a simple calculation.
Mm-hmm.
That 4 months and 10 days gives us 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is when we are taking the days to be 30.
All right.
Now the person will calculate from the day 120 days. Am I correct to this?
Mm-hmm.
Now we consult the ulama that was this these months 29 or 30. Because it cannot be 28 or it cannot be 31.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be from 120, you can minus either 1, 2, or 3, or 4.
Okay, G.
Right?
G, G.
So it cannot be more than 120. Your cutoff time is 120. That is, if all the subsequent months were for 30 days, having 30 days in the month. So if the if 2 out of those 4 months has 29, then you got 118 days.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 118th day, at that time, the iddat finished.
All right, Jazakallah.
The iddat starts immediately on the time. For example, husband passed away at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Iddat started there.
All right.
The iddat had now started.
It started, G.
Let me just explain, hypothetically speaking, or this happens all the time, that the person is in the hospital, clinic, and home of care, and the husband is there and the wife is there. The husband dies at the hospital, 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as that happens, the wife is in iddat. You do not have to reach the house for the iddat to start. The wife is already in iddat, and now this transportation from her, taking her to the place now, that is already in iddat period. She's going now in her iddat period to her house, but the iddat has started.
All right. Well, this earlier, Musa mentioned 118 days. Isn't it plus another 10 days?
180, 4 times 30 is?
120.
120 plus 130 days. 130 days.
All right. So
130 days is your cutoff. So it will be 130 minus 1, 2, or 3, or 4.
All right. Jazakallah, Musa. We can't further, inshallah, a number of questions coming through. Remember, this is your phoning program. It's already 5 minutes to 9 o'clock, inshallah. Any questions you have, call us right away. The number to call is 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number to call is 082-580-8070. Alright, and we have a number of questions on the computer screen. The one says, a Shile, it's not a Shile, it's a Shele. Alright, Muhammad, it's not S-H, it's C-H. It was advertised for 10 people. Someone took the Shele and paid in advance. It turned out that the chalet was 4 people. The owner was contacted over the phone and they said that they'll give a refund. Till today, nothing has happened. What is the ruling?
That was deception in sale. Unfortunately, that was gross deception in sale. The seller is a sinner, a transgressor. And I'm happy a question like this has come. But unfortunately, most of us do not have our transactions in order. Our dealings are not in order. And our loan, buying, selling is not in order. And we sell, unfortunately, defectively. And we do not disclose the defectiveness of the article. And we do not disclose all the qualities, good or bad, of the article. Here, unfortunately, the person looks like intentionally deceived the person by saying it was an 8 sleeper, whatever it is, and now it turned out to be a 4 sleeper, that person now has been promised the refund. He's entitled to the refund even if he was not promised. Even if he was not promised, he's entitled to a negotiable refund. But his debt should be in proportion to the current market value, market and season value. So that person should pay up and not keep that person hanging in abeyance, and should pay whatever he owes to the one who occupies the chalet.
All right, JazakAllah. Let's start. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. I just wanted to find out regarding looking for fatwas on the internet. Is it permissible? Because many people are saying that internet is not a place to look for fatwas and Islamic rulings from muftis. But we see that many ulama are having websites. So I just wanted to know what's the ruling regarding looking for fatwas on the internet and actually using them in your own daily life instead of going face to face with the ulama, and also to get fatwas via email. Is that acceptable?
All right, JazakAllah for the question, brother. All right.
Hello,
okay, you listen. JazakAllah. Okay, sir.
There are two sides of this answer. One is, yes, it is on one side permissible to seek a ruling via the email, just like it is permissible to seek a ruling via the telephone or a letter. An email is another form of a letter. And what you call the telephone also will substantiate that you can utilize a medium to get your questions answered. Now, as far as getting your question answered, that is one thing, that is permissible. But you should source the reliable ulama ikram, the muftis who are righteous, pious, knowledgeable, and should not go to those sites where the fatwa is given on whims, fancies, without knowledge, without any taqwa, taharat involved in it. So on one side, it is permissible. On the other side, it is super dangerous to ask those who are ignoramuses. The hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that stated, the sign of an hour is that when ignoramuses begin to give fatwa, legal rulings, and when the awamunas, the common people, go to ignoramuses for their guidance and their legal rulings. And we see both these things are on the increase.
All right, Mr. JazakAllah for that. We have a lengthy question here with regards to a talaq, Masalam of Islam. And the brother also gives us a brief background history regarding himself. He says, I was abused as a child from as early as 2 years of age, and I still have the scars to prove it. My father was an alcoholic and used to beat myself and my mother up almost on a daily basis. We were constantly in hospital for cuts, bruises and broken bones. I was in 12 different schools in 12 years due to the fact that my mother had to flee from my father. Later in my teens, I developed serious psychological difficulties. A psychiatrist first saw me in the year 1995 and that diagnosed me with a personality disorder, major depression and generalized anxiety disorder. I was in and out of 4 different mental hospitals in a course of 3 years. I was now recently diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder and major depression. Please clear the matter for me, as I still love my wife dearly and so does she. Alright, the brother wants to know, are we on talaq 2 or are we on talaq 3? The other question is, the brother says, I wish to fully understand the laws of talaq as prescribed in the Quran and the Revelant Hadith. It appears as if it is left up to the individual and his own interpretation and understanding of what he reads in the Quran and Hadith, hence the difference of opinion respectively from an imam and a sheikh. The reason for this is because of contrary writings and statements brought forth as evidence from these respective brothers. So just to brief you on what took place between me and my wife, the brother says, in October 2005, I issued my wife with a written talaq. I only signed once and not 3 times. I was told that I am standing on a first talaq. In June of this year, 2005, I call an imam to perform the talaq yet again, as he was the imam involved in the issuing of the first talaq. My wife and myself had an argument and she asked for a talaq about a dozen times in a matter of 30 minutes. I got fed up, knocked on the imam's door and asked him to perform the talaq. He came to my house and after explaining the situation to him briefly, he advised us against taking the route of a talaq, as it is extremely displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and I understand that now. I was interrupting the imam, showing little if any respect to my learned elder, and he says after consulting a sheikh, he convinced me by allowing me to read from the Quran, myself, that my wife and myself are sitting on two taraks. He says, I read Surah Taraq, Surah Nisa, and Surah Baqarah, whereas Imam is convinced that we are sitting on all three. And Murisab, the brother wants to know regarding the Masala, that is he sitting on two taraks or three taraks?
First of all, that the person, alhamdulillah, looks like he recovered fairly well. I don't know whether the diagnosis about his mental state is still in place, because he seems to understand and write very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in no state of insanity or pagalpan or anything like that. And as I understand it, that he's issued so far two talaq.
Two talaq. All right, jazakallah. And let's go further, inshallah. All right, Musab, are you ready? We have a number of questions. Can a lady perform a nikah?
This is a repeat question, that for performance of a nikah is ijab and qubul, is proposal and acceptance in the presence of two witnesses and the mention of the mihr, not even the officiating officer. The officiating officer is not even a prerequisite for the validity of the of a nikah. And Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, according to his figure, that a lady can become a judge in non-hudud cases also. So when she can become a judge in non-hudud cases, non-hudud, those cases clearly do not lean and eat, and do not relax yourself and eat, meaning lean down and eat. Lean down, people will understand that sometimes when they lounging and smoking, they lean in that position. Rasulullah said you should not eat like that. So the hadiths are pointing clearly to the fact that we should be sitting and eating. Fatawa Mahmoodiya, in it is written, the late Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi stated concerning this question, that this is Khilaf Sunnah, it is contrary to Sunnah.
The other question is about the cigarette and DVD players. Is it permissible to sell cigarettes and DVD players?
Permissible,
alright.
Both will depend on the end result, because we have explained in detail in another question and answer session about cigarettes and the evils and harms of it, the wastage of money and energy, and also that it is detrimental to the health of most of the people, causes TB, cancer, whatever, and so many diseases. People should not become addicted to it, and if you are going to become addicted, then definitely it is makruh and tahrim for that person. A Muslim should abstain from smoking, and this is injurious to the health. So that is why we say, although it is permissible on one side, but definitely makruh on the other side.
All right. We go to the SMS questions. The one says, Assalamu alaikum, can you greet or reply to someone's salam while you are eating?
First of all, the person who gave the salam, he has done injustice, because the person is engaged in eating, and eating is classified as a noble activity, as a activity like ibadat, like a person making wuzu, also is involved, engaged in a noble activity and ibadat. Therefore, a person making wuzu or eating should not be greeted. However, now when the greeting has been done, then the person is allowed to return the greeting.
Alright. Can you perform ghusl multisab with contact lenses?
Permissible,
jazakallah. And let's see the other question is, it says, is it permissible multisab for men to leave their wives at home without a mahram? We discussed the question, another brother wants to know the question.
We have discussed this, and I mentioned the various scenarios when the ladies are left alone, and I'm stressing on this point. And while we are at this point here, last week we had the question about the hijab, and some person, when we stated that hijab is wajib, he said, for each an ayat, and alhamdulillah, you read one ayat. For that, the brothers and sisters listening there, that they should check up Fatawa Rahimiya, Volume 1, whole discussion on hijab and the necessity of hijab are there. However, a person should look at Surah Ahzab, verse 33, also Surah Ahzab, verse 53, also Nasai, Volume 1, page 14, and also the ayats that are very important as far as hijab are concerned, Surah Nur, verse 30, 31. And
we should look at these ayat clearly and then realize that hijab is absolutely wajib and there is no getting away. In fact, in Majalis-e Abrar, it is stated, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala about what is best for a woman. She replied that she does not see men and they do not see her. So this will only happen when the women are clad properly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we should look at Muslim, Abu Dawud, and Mishkat on the sections of hijab. It is clear that this is necessary. There was a person who was a slave, Hazrat Salim,
mm-hmm.
radiallahu ta'ala. When he became a free man, then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala congratulated him, and after that, he did not see her at all for the rest of his life. So Sahaba, in the time of Sahaba, in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they understood the Quran. Quran came in their time, and they observed the hijab, they observed the covering of the face. Therefore, we have to do it.
Allahumma sabr jazakallah for that answer and for the explanation. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. My question is, it says, does a person selling a particular type of item in a shop that doesn't belong to him have to pay zakat on those items? And please explain how.
First of all, he is posing a question that is very strange. He's selling someone else's item. Now, when he's selling someone else's item, there are a lot of laws attached to it. That how come he's selling someone else's item? He's not owner of that item. Is he an agent? Is he a person acting in absentia? Is he a person as a proxy salesman? Or is he just a rep? So, if he is not obviously the owner of the article, possessor of the article, that is not classified his asset, he cannot dispose of it how he wants to. When he is not the owner of that article, therefore he will not pay zakat on that article. The owner, possessor, one in control of that article, he is the one liable for zakat of that article.
Alright, jazakallah. Ustaz, we go on further. The brother says, Assalamu alaikum. We find at times that you must read zikr 1,000 times or 2,000 times. Where do these numbers originate from?
First of all, understand something, that certain times Askar, zikr are given by the mashayikh. Mashayikh here are by the spiritual leaders or the spiritual guides or the peers, and he gives them to his disciples. So the mentor, he gives them to his disciples according to their ability, capacity and potentiality of making that particular type of zikr. For example, similarly, if one can ask, certain medicines, the doctor says, take one time a day. Certain times they say, no, take three. Certain times they say, take four. So the doctor has diagnosed a problem, analyzed it, prescribed a remedy, and stipulated the times to be taken. Similarly, the sheikh and the peer or the spiritual mentor, he assesses and diagnoses his disciple and tells his disciple that you should read this kalima or this formulation so many times. So this 1,000, 2,000 or day and night, sitting, standing, that has come about by way of treatment, ilaj, not prescribed strictly per se by Sharia, but has come by inference. Because Quran Kareem is very clear that the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be made in kasrat. And there is no ta'adat, kasrat meaning in quantity.
Okay.
Zikr is one thing stipulated in the Quran without the maximum made, meaning you should do it sitting, standing, walking, talking, sleeping, lying down, in standing, ruku, sijda, every time making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the positions are not stipulated and the times are not stipulated. So, these figures are there as way of mu'alija, ilaj, and after diagnosis, spiritual diagnosis, it is recommended.
Alright, JazakAllah, as the Mustafi going further, remember to listeners, we have just about 7 to 8 minutes left before we terminate the program. Any questions you have, the number to call is 011-854-158. Cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070. As I had received the text earlier, it says, Assalamu alaikum, can you please answer these questions? Number one is it permissible to perform Fajr and Umri Qadha namaz and Ashraq namaz at the same time? Is it permissible to perform Fajr, Umri Qadha namaz and Ishraq namaz at the same time?
Not with one intention. Not with one intention. The one intention story will come about when you have Nawafil Salah.
Yeah.
So you cannot say, Ya Allah, I make it 2 rakat, Fajr, Umri and Ishraq. You cannot combine the wajib and the nafil. You combine the nafil and the nafil.
Right.
You cannot combine the farz and the wajib, or the farz and the nafil. The farz is an entity on its own, the wajib entity on its own. And because it is a qaza, so this is wajib al-i'ada, so alhamdulillah, this is also classified like wajib, it's an entity on its own. The nafil, the ishraq is a nafil. You can have many nafils combined. Ya Allah, make it 2 rakat, salat, tawbah, hajat, whatever you... All these are nawafil. So the nawafil, the optional ones can be combined, but you cannot combine an optional with a compulsory, or a compulsory with a faraz, and a faraz with a optional.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mr. Abbas, we go on further, inshallah. The other question posed by the brother or sister is, number two, I need to clarify this. Is it correct and Islamic where families gather on a Thursday night to make dhikr? What is the Sharia ruling for this?
Mullah Ali Qari is a very great scholar. Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Alayhi, is quoted often. Unfortunately, these days, whenever we want to quote a scholar, we quote him for our benefit. And when the ruling of the scholar is against us, then we just sidestep the scholar and do what we want to do. Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has commentated as a great Allama of the Hanafi fiqh, jurisprudence of the Hanafi fiqh, and he has stated clearly in Mirkat, which is a commentary of Mishkat, that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala al-Majmain should not make collective zikr in the masjid or in their homes.
Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. Can one give interest money to the poor Muslim, or should goods be bought for them with the interest money?
If the poor Muslims are negligent, meaning that unfortunately they will take any money, whether it is zakat or interest, and they will consume it unwisely, or unfortunately they are involved in sin of gambling or sin of alcoholism, and if you give them money, then they will utilize it for these haram activities of gambling and alcoholism or drugs, then you should give them in kind, and not so much in kind where they will decide, no, I will sell the surplus and extra for the drugs or the alcohol or the gambling. You should give them monthly and monitor it, but are you giving them sufficient to survive? And you should give them sufficient to survive until they get themselves rid of the evil things, then you can give them whatever quantity you want.
Alright. So the other question is with regards to halal. The brother wants to know, Assalamu alaikum, why must a lady marry someone else after her talaq iddat for her to remarry her first husband again?
This is the case when the husband has issued talaq mughallaza, that he has issued 3 talaqs, irrespective whether these 3 talaqs were issued in one sitting or on separate occasions. This is the way to control things. And Islam is the deen. Allah is our creator. Allah understands us. And Allah is our maker. Allah understands our conscience, our modesty. And Allah understands what will make us afraid. And Allah understands what will make us sick. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that a person who has got hairat in him, consciousness in him, that he won't issue 3 talaqs with a view to get his wife back, because he will not have this idea in his mind that my wife has to remarry and go somewhere else and then come back to me. This mere thought and fact will prevent him and control him, has disciplined him from not being hasty and nasty and not issue the three talaq and not issue the talaq to muhallaza irrespective of one city or three cities.
Alright, JazakAllah, we're going for them. So we have just about another 3 to 4 minutes left before we terminate the program. Assalamu alaikum, is it okay for your washing to be on the line during Maghrib time?
You should ask the question here. Is it for me, is it okay for me to be near the washing line during Maghrib time, not your washing? The washing can be there after Asr, before Asr, before Maghrib, after Maghrib, and till midnight, no problem. Your washing is your washing, no problem. But for you to be outside there, that is the problem. It comes in the hadith that Maghrib is the time of one shift change, of the Malaika changing and the Jinnat changing. So the mischievous Jinnat, they do something wrong before they go generally. That is why Rasulullah has highly recommended that the people should remain indoors during Maghrib time. Men should be in the masjid, women should be in their homes.
Right. Mustafa, one question here regarding the imams and the kurta below the ankles. It says that one of the imams in the masjid, his kurta is always below his ankles. Is our salah in order behind the imam?
Salah is valid but makruh. Please talk to the imam in private, lead one delegation to him, show him the ahadithes, take some ulama, talk to the imam and plead to him. Don't fight with him, don't quarrel with him. Go and explain to him nicely. And explain to him, perhaps he does not know or is not aware of the fact that his kurta and his trousers is below the ankle. There are so many ahadiths stating that it should be above the ankle. So we should first give the credit to the ulama that alim there and not be rough with him, go and explain to him. And if he persists and insists and is adamant and stubborn, then definitely you should approach the trustees and the governors and the controllers and the mutawallis of that masjid and state clearly that behind this imam it is makruh to be there.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mr. Sabi, going further. What should a pregnant woman do whilst pregnant in order to get pious children?
Abstain from sin and perform the fara'id salat, engage in Quran tilawat, engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop swearing, stop being abusive, stop gossip, slander, contact and behave well, remain indoors, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, and inshallah, do everything that is good, abstain from everything that is evil, enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil, discuss only about pious people and pious personalities, talk about Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, hear about those things, see which is what is permissible. Do not see what is haram. Inshallah, obedient children.
Alright, inshallah, Allah give everybody obedient children. Ameen. Because of the Mutisab, Assalamu alaikum, it says, Maulana, I have a problem. I keep thinking of Quranic ayats when I am in the toilet. What must I do to stop this? What thoughts are allowed?
You should try to control this. And we have not reached such a very bad state at the moment because certain times, unfortunately, when you lose control of yourself, you begin to overflow. There is a container and you put some fluid in the container. And then the fluid overflows when the container cannot carry it. So you are doing something without proper guidance, first of all. And you are doing something without proper mentor. And you are over-excessive or over-reading certain things. As a result, now your mind is not in your control. And this is not very good, this is dangerous. So you should realize something, that things are getting out of control. And unfortunately, the person may think, no, I'm very, very pious now, that these things are happening to me even when I go to the closet. So remember, this is no sign of piety or extreme piety, but this is sign that of lack of control and discipline. So definitely, you should speak, if you're a male, go to some alim of repute and understanding so that he can control and prescribe methods how you can control this. If you're female, via your husband, speak to an alim and express the difficulty so that the matter can be resolved adequately.
All right, so we go on further, inshallah. We have just a few questions before we conclude the program. The one says, a co-worker confessed to having an affair with my best friend's husband. Do I pretend I did not hear this, or do I tell my best friend?
Since you have heard it, you should do something about it. Once it has come to your notice now, and this is an absolutely haram activity, and it has brought to your notice, and there is so much of haram in it, that first of all, that person has done evil. Secondly, he is broadcasting that evil. And thirdly, well, if he can do it that side, then what spares him to do it with your wife? And you would rather address the situation very quickly.
All right, JazakAllah, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. It says, my daughter received a proposal from a family member. I'd like to know if it's permissible or not, and could you please give proof from Quran and Hadith, sister in Islam, possible regarding the nikah to the family member?
I don't understand. If you get married, as long as that that person is permissible to marry, you can marry that person.
All right, yeah. No doubt, JazakAllah. Mr. Batim, we come to the end of the program, or rather, the last question we have on the computer screen. It says, the person who performs a nikah, is he also a witness?
The person who performs the nikah?
Gee.
Technically, he becomes a witness.
Alright.
Because, that, especially when he is listening to the ijab and kubul himself, then he becomes a witness. And obviously, we see when the ulama ikram perform the nikahs, that the officiating Ali will say, with the representative of the bride and the two witnesses and the entire majma that is gathered. So he makes the entire majma, the entire gathering and congregation witness also. So when the entire congregation is a witness, he, the performer, automatically becomes a witness.
All right, Mustafa, we come to the end of today's very interesting question and answer session. And we say JazakAllah for the very educating and informative program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and the Mustafa and the entire family, and in both the worlds, inshallah. And Mustafa, JazakAllah, once again, we appreciate the time Mustafa gave us and also the dedication. And Mustafa, please remember us in your humble du'as as well.
Inshallah, you also and the listeners also.
Ameen, inshallah. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.